First off, thank you so much for joining me this morning because we have just added in your new song, Whiskey River, into regular rotation, into constant rotation. And I love that for us because it sounds so good. And then you also released your fourth album, Sorry for Nothing, Volume 2, which we'll get to here in a few minutes. But we do play your music, we do know your voice, and we do love it, but we don't know too much about you yet. So tell us a bit more about you and your music.
Well, first off, I just want to say thank you very much for your support, and thank you for playing my music for the wonderful people of Alberta and beyond. You know, it means the world to me to have this kind of support, especially up here in Canada. I'm an Ontario boy. I come from North Bay, Ontario, Canada. It's a blue collar hockey slash military town, which I grew up around, hence my love for hockey and my love for aviation, of course, as a private pilot as well. You know, I grew up on country music. And I mean, you know, the classic country music, as far as Merle Haggard, Buck Owens, and even going as far back as Jimmy Rogers and the Carter family. But I also, my dad being from Toronto, I grew up in a house full of music and aunts and uncles, you know, playing guitars and fiddles. And that's really where my sound comes from, is because, you know, I went from, you know, Merle Haggard, Waylon Jennings to you know, Buck Owens, but then transitioned to that 90-ish sound where, of course, you have Shania Twain, who's just from up the road in Timmins, Ontario. But, you know, guys like Travis Tritt, who I, you know, who's, it's crazy to be able to call him a friend now, but someone I looked up to for a very long time, you know, who really mixed that country music with, you know, Southern rock, if you will. Growing up a drummer before I got into all this stuff, you know, I progressed into bands like Rush and Deep Purple and, you know, Ozzy Osbourne's, but one of my favorites of all voices and songs and writing is Bryan Adams. So I really just try to take a deep dive as a songwriter and an artist of an appreciation for all those artists and genres that I grew up listening to and that I love dearly. And even being in my teens, where that got into bands like Pantera and Lamb of God and Dream Theater and all these heavier hard rock metal bands. And that's really you know, the perfect way to describe my sound is, you know, it's a mix of Merle Haggard, Eric Church meets Bryan Adams and Ozzy Osbourne. And that you have Cory Marks.
That is a great description right there. Yeah, kind of like a fusion of country and hard rock. And you have really claimed your spot in the music marketplace because your music is so good in the sense of like you
Thank
just
you.
own your sound, you just own it, and you're just so good at it. So, I mean, you got to
Thank
tell
you.
us a bit about your songwriting process.
The biggest thing for me, the most important thing, you know, I've been saying this a lot lately. I mean, the word art is in the word artist, right? So I think it's very important as a singer and as a songwriter, and of course, as an artist, to try to demonstrate that and tell your story and really, really, you know, craft your sound based on, you know, what you want to say, how you want to sound, and of course the music you grew up on. And when it comes to songwriting, you know, it might just start with a title. It could, you know, being a drummer, it might start with a groove or an idea, whether that's upbeat or, you know, a little on the slower, softer side. I've always tried to write about what I know, of course, what I've experienced. You know, try to write for, you know, straight from the heart, and try to be as real as possible with the listeners and you know, whoever's going to hear my music. But most of all, you know, I'm telling my story. I'm writing and singing my songs, and I'm trying to make, you know, myself happy first with the produce and you know, the song itself. And I just hope the rest of the world loves it when it comes out.
Definitely. So before we talk about your new album and your latest single, I just want to bring up the fact that you got to tour with Dorothy. I love Dorothy so much. I know this is a country station, but I just got to say that must have been so cool. Tell us a bit about that.
You know, it was great. I mean, her and her band really, you know, it's like kind of going back to that almost Led Zeppelin, Black Sabbath sound. Like, it's just a straight up rock show. They were really great to us. You know, we had a lot of fun. We played, you know, about 15 shows across the US earlier this year. You know, it was a lot of fun. It's always great to tour the US. And as a matter of fact, I'll be going back on tour for the third time in a year with Seven Dust here in November, December. So last November, I toured, you know, 20 shows across the U.S. with Theory of a Dead Man. Earlier this year, I did those 15 shows with Dorothy, and closing out the year with 22 shows across the U.S. with Seven Dust. Now, it's been a lot of fun, you know, touring with these as technically a Canadian country act. Touring with some of these great rock acts across the U.S. has been a lot of fun, and Dorothy was certainly one of those tours. We had a blast.
That's awesome. And I saw on your Instagram the other day that you are asking people, where would you love for me to play next? And I mean, I said the Calgary Stampede, But where would you love to play next? Where is one place you've always wanted to put on a show?
I've toured 7 different countries this year, which is insane to think about. We played with the Seven Dust Tour. We'll be at around 80, 85 shows this year in 2025 alone, 8 different countries. So it's been it's been a wild ride. No pun intended to the one of the newer songs on the album, but it's really, and I mean that song really just describes this feeling and this lifestyle and everything we go through. I feel I've toured so much everywhere lately but Canada. Alberta's always been, great province. The festivals are always awesome. The fans are so great over there. Of course, the Calgary Stampede, the last time I played that technically was when I was touring with Toby Keith back in 2015. So I think I think it's been long enough, and I hope that 2026 sees Cory Marks in Calgary, of course, playing the Stampede and all over Alberta next year. That would be really great.
That would be so great. Even like Heydays or Whoop Up Days, like
All
Lethbridge,
of
Edmonton, all of
them.
them. Let's just
All of
get you
them.
here. We'll call you an honorary Albertan.
I love it. You know what? When I played, I was doing a tour in 2016. I was doing my own kind of headlining club tour back then. They actually gave me that. They gave me that white cowboy hat and the keys to the city, which I think is a very, dangerous and bold move on their part. Yeah, you know what? I actually have the certificate of being an honorary Calgarian, and is, oh my God, it's right in front of me. I just picked it out. Yes, the deputy was Jeff B. Wilkie, and I'm reading it right now. On honorary Calgarian, the certificate entitles Cory Marks to enjoy a truly Western experience in Calgary, now an honorary Calgarian. I can't believe I haven't seen this. I'm not kidding you, Sarah, in years, and I just saw the red kind of box surrounding this white piece of paper in this box that I have full of just many memories, and I just pulled that out. That's crazy. That just Wow, that's crazy that just happened. But yeah, I am an honorary Calgarian, so therefore, let's go Calgary, let's go Alberta, and let's get some shows over there in 2026.
Let's do it. And you're going to be bringing some newer music with you. Now, you released Sorry for Nothing on December 6th, 2024. And that album was said to be known as an absolute dark horse of an album. But now you have Sorry for Nothing Volume 2 that was released earlier this month. So tell us a bit about, how some artists do side A or side B. You chose two different volumes for these projects. Tell us a bit about how they came to be.
Well, when listening to the album, I could tell you, or either album, the volume should be up to 10 or 11 if it goes there for you. I've been writing so much, since the pandemic. All these songs have been written and recorded between 2021 and early 2024. I literally have, 30 some songs in the vault, like mixed, mastered, ready to go by incredible co-writers and, of course, the producers. My longtime producer, Kevin Churko. There's Andrew Bayless. I mean, just to give a quick background, I mean, Kevin Churko produces or has produced and worked for, Shania Twain, Ozzy Osbourne, Five Finger Death Punch, to name a few. Then you have Andrew Bayless, who I did 13 songs with that are split between these two albums, Volume 1 and Volume 2, who produces Jelly Roll, Brantley Gilbert. And then you have Kyle O'Dell, who's a fantastic rock and hard rock producer out of Nashville. He co-wrote and produced the songs Hangman and Guilty. Which are arguably probably the heavier songs on both albums, Sorry for Nothing, Volume 1 and 2. It's a perfect mix of country and rock, and really I think it's a really good description of who I am, what I am, and the music that I grew up on, and kind of, the sound that really is my brand. It's a mix of country, it's a mix of rock, and hard rock and metal too, and you're going to get all of that in both these albums, Sorry for Nothing, Volume 1 and Volume 2.
Amazing. Well, I know everybody has to listen to it. If they haven't yet, you have to listen to all of your music, in my opinion. Now, Whiskey
Please,
River.
thank you.
Yeah. Whiskey River is now played all the time here on the Windspeaker Network. And this
Thank
song
you.
is so darn good. Very 90s country. It's got a honky
Yes.
tonk vibe to it. It's a toe tapper, like you said earlier. So tell us about the co-write you had for this song, because I understand it was co-written and it is just so good.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, that song, I think I probably wrote that, and it might even have been during the pandemic or sometime in 2020. And I co-wrote that with my good friend, my dear friend, Craig Brooks. He's also a co-writer on the song Empty Bottles, which is on Volume 2 that we co-wrote with Jade Eagleson. Craig and I have been writing for several years now. This song, Whiskey River, really channeled, as you said, that 90s sound. I wanted it upbeat, and it's really, that upbeat, like you said, toe tapping country sound that, that we all grew up on. And I like to say, I think I channeled my dear friend Travis Tritt on this one, where, yes, it's a song about whiskey. Yes, it's country. And yes, it's going to make you want to grab a drink, sing along and tap and, tap your toes or stomp your boots, whichever you decide. It's a really fun upbeat song. And you're right. It does change a little bit from the usual stuff that I put out, especially at radio. I just wanted to make this a no-brainer for Canadian country radio, for country radio in general, as it's been added all over Australia as well, and even over into the United States. So, with this one, it's totally CanCon. It's written by two Canadians, produced, written, and performed, all that good stuff. And I'm really hoping to have my first Canadian country radio hit with this one. So, again, hats off to you guys for playing it, and thank you very much for your support.
It's going to be on repeat now. Corey, we're going to go off the rails here a little bit with Halloween talk because Halloween is coming up. So, Corey, you got to let us know, what is your favorite Halloween candy?
Yeah, that's a tough question. I'm a Halloween nut. The crazy thing about me, for all those listening who don't know this about me yet, I decorate my house. I just bought a huge blow up Chucky for my front lawn. We get pumpkins every year, and I do it all up because I've always loved those houses as a kid, and it kind of allows me to relive my childhood a little bit every now and then. And I know it's a lot of fun for the kids too. We got a bucket full of candy, which, if I admit, got into a little bit last night. When it comes to candy, I know, I love it all. It's a little mixed because, I love, sometimes you want the, like the chewy candies, like the Jolly Rancher, the chewables, like gummies, those have been really good. New to me, but one of my favorites. But you can't go wrong with a, mix of chocolate bars too, like the mini Mars bars and Wonder bars and Coffee Crisps and stuff. So I like a mix because, there's chocolate and then there's candy. You can't go wrong. To be honest, I just love it all. But fun fact about me is I'm petrified of horror movies. I don't watch horror movies. My grandma scared the crap out of me was when I was a kid with, of course, the legendary Halloween, Michael Myers, and that song that just creeps in the back of your head once the lights go out. It's crazy. It's so funny because he just pops up out of nowhere with that white face, and he's got that big butcher knife, right? It's funny how no matter, you could shoot him 20 times, but no matter how fast you run or what kind of car you're in, driving away, getting away from this guy, he always catches up, or he gets there before you do. That's always freaked me out. And so the only horror movie I've really watched or have been watching just to get in the Halloween spirit has been Chucky. And of course, Goosebumps, because I grew up on Goosebumps and I loved it. But on the candy front, I love it all. I do have a sweet tooth, so it's kind of my guilty pleasure once Halloween comes around to give myself, especially Halloween night, to be that big kid again. Just eat whatever, whenever, and however.
That's how you got to do it. Now, speaking of being a kid again, what was your favorite costume growing up when you went out trick or treating?
I've had many costumes. That's a good question, Sarah. I think that's the first time anyone's ever asked me what my favorite costume was. But I think, if I can go back to, it was one of my first Halloweens, and my mom has pictures of them somewhere. It's very basic, but it was almost like this skeleton pajama thing that I wore. And then it came with like this pillowish like skeleton mask that you'd wear. I just, whenever I think of that, I always kind of look back to the glory days of, on Halloween. It was just such a, like, I couldn't wait to get out of school and go trick-or-treating with dad and stuff. And it's probably that one. And maybe my later years, I remember going out to this is in my bar days, but going out to the bars as Thor, because everyone was referencing Thor back in the day when that movie was big. And so I did that. And I think I've probably been either Rambo or like a Top Gun fighter pilot several times, several Halloweens. So I guess if we go on, like, based on the amount of times I've been in the same costume, it'd have to be fighter pilot or like an army dude, like Rambo or something.
That's pretty darn cool. So, last question here. Do you have any scary stories? Have you ever been haunted or experienced anything paranormal?
Scary stories. Well, me and my friend Tom Brown, we used to, when we first we, he first got his driver's license, he was he's a year and a bit older than me, and we used to take his mom's car. It was this little green Ford Focus, and we used to go up to Tebow Hill in North Bay, and there was this like very creepish, like long dirt road driveway like you see in the horror movies. And it was this old stone house. We used to go in there, but it was pitch black. Like it was totally abandoned. And I remember we used to go up there and just be like so petrified. And the closest thing to like paranormal, I remember us peeking our head in and like looking up to the top floor, and there was something that kind of like flew across the hole. Like it was almost like, we don't know if it was something that was up there, like an animal, or maybe like there was, maybe it was a homeless shelter for somebody. I don't know, but that's, we've never really solved that mystery. It was like a chair or something that kind of like toppled over, but like there's nobody in there. And it was, I remember us, like when that happened, the loud bang that it made, and then us just like we ran back to that little Focus and put it in drive, and I don't think we ever returned. It just scared us that bad, and we're like, you know what, we shouldn't go up there anymore.
Oh my goodness, no, that wouldn't be a good idea.